beginning at the seventh verse. I hope that I may be enabled to read this as positively and with as much assurance as the divine and Holy Spirit of God Almighty. Grace this man of God with when he moved him to leave this portion of the scriptures here for your comfort and my comfort. If indeed we are one of his. He said that on this occasion, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High, and if it was the Most High, then the implied truth of the matter is that there's none high. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance. When he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. That, as we understand, is a bound that was set by the sovereign and eternal power of the only true and living God. Not only was it set by him, but being sovereign and the only true and the living God, there was no other will save his own divine and sovereign will according to his eternal purpose that set those bounds. He said then, while the large portion is his people, I wonder sometimes who was the father of that kid. I wonder who would even have a meditation that what the Lord has done is not done right, is not done holy and divine and forever. He said the large portion is his people. That excludes, as far as I know, every false theory that's sometimes advocated elect and charged people of God Almighty from before all time. I don't know whether I'm embraced in that number that hears his people or not. They were his in eternity, in his mind and in his presence, before the dust of the eyes sealed were laid, before that man was formed from the dust of the earth, and being his in eternity, he being in one mind, and who can turn it? So many of them come and grace the earth, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're passed on. Yet there's some of them that yet. I'm glad that those who are there yet are still contending for the gracious doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ preached himself, which doctrine Jesus said is not mine, but his that sent me. That doctrine holds forth the only hope for one who's fallen in sin and in condemnation, one who's become alienated and separated from God, who is not subject to his law, neither indeed can be. He didn't stop when he said the large portion is his people, but he said that Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. I don't know how many Jacobites might be there today. I don't know whether that I'm one of his or not. But if there's a Jacobite there today, he's one of the lot of his inheritance. That inheritance I feel too little and too weak even to mention in my sinful lips as to what it is to the children of God Almighty. Jacob, to me, here is symbolic, and in some ways, a type of every one of God's elect. And where did he find him? He said here that he found him in a desert land, Revelation. That's the place that I don't believe that if you and I could have our choice in the matter, would ever be found in. But he found him in a desert land. That's a barren place. That's among the unfruitful. A place, a naturalist feature. And if I might say so, in the spiritual sense, it's much more than it is in the natural sense. I don't think that the word of prophecy, or the speech of the Holy Ghost upon this occasion, means to convey the idea that John didn't know where he was. I don't think it conveys any idea at all that the great God of heaven and earth had to make a search in order to locate Jacob and where he was. I don't find where that he ever summoned any authority from any other source of wisdom, be it whatever it may be, other than that of his own sovereign and eternal will. His foreknowledge and his determination are from before this world ever was. This is indicated to me that every one of God's humble and elect people who've been found by the great God of heaven and earth in their low estate and in that destitute and deplorable circumstance that they are all in is no more neglected in the purpose of God than Jacob himself was. I'm satisfied that there'll not ever be a one of the heritage of God but that he will find him, and he'll find him on time. He'll find him at the time that God appointed, and not at the time, possibly, that men would have him find him, but at God's time. You know, Solomon said on one occasion that there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. I know that we have many people that when you talk about the purpose of God, it seems to them as being something that's not important, something that they're not really and before the world began. The prophet said, I concerning him, as I have purposed, or rather he through the prophet, as I have purposed, so shall it fare. Inasmuch as he purposed the salvation of his people, I believe he purposed to find them. I believe that his foreknowledge is such that he knew where to go, that he knew where they were, that he knew the circumstances with which they were surrounded, that he knew the bondage that held them, and that he also knew there's no other power save the power of God Almighty that is able to reach them, that is able to deliver them and break the ties of bondage that held them so firmly. And that he found Jacob. This gives me some assurance, if I'm one in that heritage, that whether or not he has found me, he will find me. I like to think about his determinate counsel and foreknowledge. I like to think about his wisdom. I like to think about every sovereign purpose of his grace, every blessing that he treasures in Christ Jesus unto us from before the foundation of the world. So he found him in a desert land, and in a waste, howling wilderness. I don't know whether you've ever been in a natural wilderness or not. I don't know whether or not you've ever heard the howling in a place that's a waste, howling wilderness. If you take note, he found him not only in that desert land, but in a waste, howling wilderness. I don't believe there was a bunch of wild beasts in there that was howling, that was terrifying and tormented unto our Jacob where he was. But this wilderness itself was the one that was howling. It wasn't the beast of the field. Ah, no. Ah, but it was such, ah, my dearie, ah, beloved, ah, brethren, and sisters, and friends, that Jacob could have had no hope of any assistance from any source whatsoever, save the great God of heaven and earth that found his land. You talk about works for righteousness. I don't want to criticize good works. I have no desire to do it from any point of view. But as poor old Jacob on this occasion had any good works to offer to God, the Holy Ghost failed to mention it yet. I believe if he is possessed with any of those good works, that it was a good time for him to fall at the feet of the sovereign God of heaven and earth, and go to it, as the world would tell you today, in in prayer. They don't only tell you to go to him in prayer, but they say that if you'll do these things, that he has an open ear, he stands ready, he's willing, and he wants to answer the prayer of his people. I believe in prayer as much as any man in the world, but I believe prayer comes only through the gift of God's grace in the hearts of his people. And I don't believe that one prayer that God Almighty is indicted in the hearts of his people has ever failed after the others. I don't believe God's ever turned on their prayer to it. But I want to tell you, my dearly, our beloved brethren, he's always been mindful of his people. He never brought them out to the seat of his mercy, but that he recognized them in abundance of grace, mercy, and in exercise by the power of his Spirit. What did he do with Jacob there? Seems like he was in a pitiful state of circumstances. It seems like inasmuch as Jacob had not made any manifestation otherwise concerning his own welfare, that maybe he would have just turned away from him and left him. You reckon Jacob felt like he did go? Have you ever felt like that you had got in such a low and down bad condition that not only are your friends and brethren have forsaken you, but the very God of heaven and earth has forsaken you? Are you any better than your elder brother? Do you not remember that Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But God never begun a good work, but that he carried it all. You remember the Apostle Paul said, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Somebody said he will, if you'll be obedient. Somebody said he will, if you do good. But the Apostle never said that. He said he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That will is just as strong a will as the will that purposed the salvation of God's people, for it's one and the same God who willed it thus. Now then, what did he do to Jacob? Did he tell him if you do this and that, he'd remember it graciously? No, he didn't do that. But what did he do? Why, he led him about. You reckon his arms become weak? You reckon he's yet leading people about as he did Jacob in that day and in that time? If I know my heart, if I've had any experience concerning these things, I want to say to you today that he's the same today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to say to you that he said, I am God, and I change not. Therefore, are you sons of Jacob, are not consumed? What a wonderful assurance I do. I've got. I shall not be consumed. And as the apostle Paul said, give and on another occasion, that if not by works of righteousness which we have done, that according to his own presence and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus, before the world began, before the foundation of the world, somebody often has said that I like the old Baptist, and I like the doctrine that they preach, that if I let but only forget going back to the beginning and bringing up all of the old patriarchs in the testimony that they hold forth, I walk to say to you, my dear, the loved people, that if there's a house built, let us stand the fury of the winds and storms, it must have a foundation, to be built on. And I want to declare to you on the day that the church of Almighty God has just such a foundation. And I want to say to you, you just can't deal with that foundation without going back to the very beginning of the word that is built for the comfort and consolation of his people. And they just don't understand it, and maybe I don't, and I'm proud of one thing that I truly don't, and never will I, by the ingenuity of my own carnal mind or reasoning concerning these things, so elated about brethren, I never have as yet known one to be led about but what there was a need for the cause of time to be led. One although has said, is there not a cause? I am persuaded that we naturally speaking lead people who in some sense or in some measure are weak or blind or destitute of support and strength upon a physical basis. I want to say to you the fact that God led him about his indicative to me of the weakness of man, as sure as your mind. It makes me to know that in and of ourselves we have no strength at all. And it makes me then to rejoice to hear and to know internally and by the power of the Holy Spirit that he is our strength, our strength, the Son of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I asked, he led him about, and there was his purpose in leading him further than that he was weak and unable to go far. I want, I'm to say to you, that you've had the instruction of the greatest and most full and complete wisdom that there is in heaven or in the earth beneath. And I find in my life that I've sometimes been led, sometimes I was ignorant of being led, and sometimes I was conscious of the leading of truth that I had. Sometimes I've been led in the false theories, false ideas, and false practices about Jacob being led by the sovereign God of heaven and earth. I ought to tell you that he wasn't led by a deceptive one. He wasn't led by one who sought to infect him and to cause him to follow some false theory or practice concerning his salvation, that his led, yes, you please, and also instructed by one who is wisdom himself, who has never heard in instruction, who's not hearing at this time, neither will he hear somewhere asunder in the future. So he led him about and instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. I don't know of any part of the human body that's any more sensitive, any more delicate, or any more useful to the body. And I don't know anything that man would fail to do if he could and had that to do with a man on a bus that would keep his eye as long as he lived. I am in this world of sin and sorrow. I'll say to you that the children of God is heritage. I am. Their weakness and dependence upon him. I see I'm Atma, Asi Atma, Abba, Ayasarayana, Adunta, Walter, my dear, Abelavid, our brethren, our two, our be, an extremist, and I don't believe that a man is an extremist, when he preaches our sovereign, our God, and our sure, our salvation, and our eternal, our deliverance, of our is, our elect, our people, our purpose from the form of the foundation of the world but to me the most extreme doctrine is the doctrine that lays upon me our responsibility and the burden that I must perform in and of myself unknowing as the Apostle Paul said on one occasion when that he said when I would do good evil is present with me so that I cannot do the things that I would human it was the righteous and holy
Yeah.
servants, on town, on mission, on the field, God and the assurance on him, on that cross, on his mouth, on his tongue, on his television, on his hill, on that, I come again, and what the presence is not to make an atonement of the sin of what is already done that, about how you come again. Yeah.
two verses, I'll try to pray. I'll speak the name of Jesus, Simon, and the believers there.
Gracious God, can go with us through this service.
nor down through the unfinished journey of this life. God, in the direction I was just along last week. When we come to the end of the way, when we made the last step, it's order to be, come to press the dying pillar, which we know we must, a great ordeal of death. Lord, sustain us in this with thy mercy. Go with us to death, and on the other side, gracious Lord, raise us and crown us as thine. We beg this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.